It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you this morning. It's Labor Day. We wish you a blessed holiday, not a a holiday of frivolity and drinking and eating all the wrong foods. Let's be healthy on this holiday. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to come together and to be able to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we pray that your spirit will teach us the things we need to know as you anoint our pastor with your words and fill him with your spirit. And as always, we pray that we will grow close to you through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
it's about time for the coming.
Friends, the title of our worship thought is When a Church Proves Unfaithful. What happens when a church proves unfaithful? Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you very much for this morning. Thank you for traveling mercies that you alone have granted. We thank you for mercies, Father, for we have all sinned and fallen short of your great glory. But we ask that you will give us victory today. May today be the beginning of a new day of continuous victories. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, some people use the concept of the fact that we must walk even as he walked. It tells us that in 1 John. Let me give you the scripture. Seems like that's 1 John 4:19, but let me make sure of that. We must walk even as he walked, because, you know, Jesus was our perfect example, okay? And we find it's in 1 John 2:6. I think 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So that's just one of many scriptures that let us know that Christ is our example. 1 John 2:6. Okay? So, some people say that because Jesus never left the organized church, that we should never leave the organized church. And I don't, well, they're not correct. And I want to read a scripture to you. It's John chapter 7, verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Jewry, that would be where the headquarters was. He just didn't go there anymore because of the persecution that was against him. Brothers and sisters, God does not require us to worship regularly where we are persecuted. You know, people feel like they have to go to a particular church. And what happens is we church hop. When one particular church, we find one that's a little more conservative or a little more liberal or whatever the case might be. But we forget that it's an organization, and that if one individual unit is persecuting God's people, the whole unit is persecuting God's people. Even if you find another church, they're not going to use their influence to try to stop the other church from doing that. And that is why, brothers and sisters, that we need to think about what did Jesus really teach? Did he say no matter what, stay in an organization? Is that what Jesus taught? Okay. The reason I bring this out is religious leadership is the greatest hindrance to spiritual growth when it is unconverted leadership, okay? Religious leadership is the greatest hindrance to spiritual growth because we are followers naturally. We should be leaders. That's what true education teaches you. It teaches you to be a leader. Now, a good leader can follow, okay? This is not talking about everybody doing their own thing, but a good leader can follow, but he follows, he or she follows, based on biblical principles. In other words, I can follow you. I don't have to be, as they say in the world, the top dog, so to speak, but I want to make sure that you're following biblical principles in order for me to feel comfortable working with you. And so Jesus did not do what they said he did. As a matter of fact, all of the maxims that they put in the Talmud, all these regulations and restrictions and man-made commandments, Jesus said their worship was vain. He said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so whenever we teach something as something that we must do spiritually because it's in the because based on the voice of God or the influence of the church, that's vain worship, brothers and sisters. And we find that a lot of vain worship is happening in the world. So think about it. Anytime you teach as a doctrine, something that is biblically encouraged, commanded by the word, you teach it but it's really not biblically commanded by the word, makes your worship vain. Matthew 15:8. I didn't say it. It's God who said it. So I'm going to read a couple of quotations to you from a wonderful book. It's actually a devotional book. It's called Upward Look, and I have these in my notes because they have some wonderful teachings there that are biblical. It says, this is page 131. The Lord Jesus will always have a chosen people to serve him. When the Jewish people rejected Christ, the Prince of Life, he took from them the kingdom of God and gave it unto the Gentiles. God will continue to work on this principle with every branch of his work. So we're in the final branch of his work. God says this is what he's going to do all the time. So that means that when the Jewish people rejected Christ, he took from them the kingdom of God and gave it to another group, it says, and that God would work on this principle in every branch of his work. Then it says, when a church proves unfaithful to the word of the Lord, whatever their position may be, whatever their position may be, however high and sacred their calling, the Lord can no longer work with them. What it says, others are then chosen to bear important responsibilities. But if these in turn do not purify their lives from every wrong action, if they do not establish pure and holy principles in all their borders, then the Lord will grievously afflict and humble them, and, unless they repent, will remove them from their place and make them a reproach. That's Upward Look, page 131. That same, and that particular quote, brothers and sisters, lets us know that no church, I don't care what kind of high position that God has called you to have, you're not in that position just because God, perpetually, just because God put you in that position. That's popery. You're in that position as long as you're faithful. If you're unfaithful, God says he has to use somebody else. It's that simple, friends. It's not hard. We've just been brainwashed, okay? Now I'm going to move to page 315 of the same book, and it says, God has a church. It is not the great cathedral, neither is it the national establishment. Now, the great cathedral would be the Roman Catholic Church. The national establishment would be like the Church of England, you know, that type of thing. Neither is it the various denominations. That's Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, non-denominational, Seventh-day Adventist, all of those. It is the people who love God and keep his commandments. Now, those people can be in various churches, because Jesus said, I have sheep that are not of this fold, but he said they're going to come into the fold. You see, so now is the time. The Bible calls us to come out of false teachings, you see. It calls it come out of Babylon. Anytime there's a teaching that's dangerous to your soul's salvation, that's a criterion of Babylon. There's other criterion, too. Some people believe that you must keep Sunday in order to be Babylon. That is not correct, because the Jews don't keep Sunday. And God says in the Bible, how is the faithful city become a harlot, talking about Jerusalem. Now, a harlot was a woman. And in the Bible, you have the mother of harlots, which was the Roman Catholic Church mentioned in Revelation 17. So if she's the mother of harlots, that means she's got to have harlot daughters, because she's the great whore, is her name in Revelation 17. But she's the mother of harlots. So if the Roman Catholic Church and all of the churches, even apostate Protestant churches, I say apostate Protestants because we're going to see they have left Protestant principles, okay? And that is what we have today, brothers and sisters. You're either going to be a pure church or you're going to be a harlot. And God says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and receive of her plagues in Revelation chapter 18. That's why we separate. I didn't say you can't minister to people and love people, but we should separate from entities, organizations. We should not, that should not be our regular place of worship if God's truth is not taught there. Think about how heaven is looking at it when you are at a church that is not rightly representing God, that has brought worldliness in, that has brought false doctrines in, that will not take a stand. And so, you know, you'll have deception such as you'll see, you'll look, listen to what the bishop says or what the president says. And he might say the right thing. He might say some things that sound right as it relates to homosexuality, but the church doesn't do anything about the schools with clubs on campus with homosexuals in the clubs. Now, I'm not in any way saying God doesn't love homosexuals. It is a type of fornication, and there's many types of fornication, and God is against fornication, brothers and sisters, but he loves sinners because he's trying to save us. That's why Jesus died. Jesus died because of the death of Christ. Many a homosexual has been converted. Because of Jesus died on Calvary, many a heterosexual fornicator has been converted. Because Jesus died on Calvary, many a drunkard has become sober, brothers and sisters, and is in love with Jesus. Many a drug addict is now cleaned up. Many a prostitute no longer practices that evil craft. Many a person who would hire them has overcome those things, brothers and sisters. Many a liar no longer lies because of the cross. Many a thief no longer steals because of the cross. That's what Jesus died for, because of sinners, brothers and sisters. But the church should not have thief clubs on the campus. We learn how to thieve or to practice thievery in our club on the campus. No, you're not supposed to do that. Well, a homosexual, brothers and sisters, is somebody who practices sexual intercourse with the same sex. That is like saying we want a fornicating club on our campus. You're not a homosexual if you don't commit any sexual acts. So why would you have a homosexual club, LGBT club on campus? That is a admission that you are acknowledging and accepting fornication. You're not a homosexual just because you think you're a homosexual. You're a homosexual if you have practiced homosexuality. Okay? And so, God is saying, God has a church. It's not the great cathedral. Neither is it the national establishment. Neither is it the various denominations. It is the people who love God and keep his commandments. So, you see, brothers and sisters, I'm in God's church. Nobody can take me out of God's church because God's church is the people that keep God's commandments. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Where Christ is even among the humble few, this is Christ's church. For the presence of the high and holy one who inhabits eternity can alone constitute a church. And brothers and sisters, the worship services that you see that are practiced where it is so loud, they scream and yell, so much so that it hurts your ears, that's not where the presence of the high and holy one is. The good feeling that you feel, that's not the Holy Spirit. That is a counterfeit, and the devil knows how to use excitatory music to give you a feel-good feeling, but it suppresses the word of God, and it puts a spell on you so that you can't see the truth. It's that worship and music often that keeps people from seeing the truth, because you feel good, so you assume that's the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. There's demons up in there. That's right, it is. I will teach the truth. It is demons in there. And brothers and sisters, many a person is deceived along that line. Now, I want to take you in your Bibles to Revelation, okay? As we are continuing in this vein, I'm going to take you in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation 13, we start with the United States of America. It's the second beast of Revelation 13. And it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth." Now, how do we know this is the United States? Because it is a nation. Beast is a nation. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 through 24. A beast is a kingdom, a nation. But this is coming out of the earth. In contrast to the Roman Catholic Church, which was the first beast mentioned in the chapter, it came out of the sea. The Bible says in Revelation 17:15, the waters, the sea, remember, the waters wherein the horse sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So a nation coming out of the sea is a nation coming out of a highly populated area. So a nation coming out of the earth would be a discovered land. You know how you read about Columbus discovering America? And, of course, people say he wasn't the first one, and I get all that. But the point is that, and I'm not saying he was, I'm just making the point that it was a discovered land. He had two horns, like a lamb. The principles, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4, I believe, says that horns are hidden power. The United States had a hidden power. It was in its constitution, embedded in its constitution, and it allowed for people to have complete civil freedom and complete religious freedom. That was the two, those were the two horns of the American jurisprudence and the principles of its government. But the horns were like a lamb. That means they were godly. See, it's godly, friends, to give people freedom. Because if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus came to give freedom. So when the United States gave freedom, God says, "I'm going to bless this nation." And that's why we can sing that song, "God Bless America, Land of the Free. Stand beside us and guide us through the night with the light from above." Everybody saw that it just became a superpower overnight. America is only a little bit over 200 years old. Did you know that? It's not thousands and thousands of years that we have like the Egyptian civilization. They should be a superpower. They've been over here. They've been up for thousands of years. You have Chinese civilization and other large nations, and I'm not saying they aren't influential, but the United States became a superpower overnight. That's because God blessed America because it gave these freedoms in its constitution. Now, they were hypocrites. The leaders were hypocrites. If you had dark skin, they privately wrote in their diaries that they had this little unwritten law that said you were three-quarters of a man and three-quarters of a woman. Therefore, they didn't have to give you the rights of a white citizens. Okay. And, of course, that was a fallacy, and God dealt with that in due time, okay? But the point being made is that, and yes, you have people that still want to go back to those days, and many are in a particular political party. That's why I'm nonpartisan. I don't do that. I don't believe in that, and neither do I believe that homosexuality is of God. And therefore, I will not be a Democrat. I will not be a Republican because I'm not going to put my vote toward that party and encourage and lend my vote to those systems of error. Okay. And but moving on, it says this beast came out of the earth with two horns like a lamb, and yet spake like a dragon. That means God saying that America would end up violating its own constitution. It would end up turning on it. That's why you see the white supremacy in the Republican Party. That's why you see homosexuality in the Democratic Party. Both of those are perversions of the Constitution. Both of those claim the Constitution as their basis. The Democrats say it's our constitutional right to fornicate with the same sex and marry them. That's what they say is their constitutional right, brothers and sisters. The insurrection on January 6th was because we have to save our country and our constitution, you see? So they've perverted the constitution, and the Bible says they would. It would speak like a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. That means the tyranny and persecution of Rome will be practiced by the United States. That's what the Bible says. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. It's going to be the leader that brings us back to Rome. Okay? And he doeth great wonders so that that he maketh fire come down from heaven. See, America is based on Protestantism. And that's why the devil brought in all of the club-like music into the church and all of this praise that we call praise, which brings demons into the sanctuary because we're yelling, we're screaming. God is not like that, brothers and sisters. We should not have the same beats and the same rhythms and all that that you find in worldly clubs. The people who play for the club should not be able to just put on sunglasses and come play for church the next day, but they're playing the same music. Okay? So that's what it means. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven. You see that there's this excitement, this spiritual excitement that is in the churches of America. And of course, they're now all around the world. And we call that worship and praise. That's not worship and praise, brothers and sisters. Worship and praise is obedience. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So the United States is the one that leads out in the image of the beast. The reason I brought this out is because the beast image, the beast was the Roman Catholic Church, and it controlled by tradition trying to suppress the Bible. A copy of that, an image of that, would be Protestant churches doing the same thing. That's why we have to come out of Babylon, because they're suppressing the word of God. All right? So God is trying to tell us something here. An image, therefore, is a copy. And when you understand what that copy is, it is a form of apostate Protestantism that seeks the aid of the civil power to enforce its dogmas, to its beliefs. So apostate Protestantism is the forerunner of this event that we're talking about. It hasn't fully matured yet. It's getting worse and worse toward that maturity. But apostate Protestantism. Well, what is Protestantism? Okay, because you have to know what Protestantism is to know what apostate Protestantism is. All right, so Protestantism is a protest against the two abuses in matters of religion. Okay, two abuses in matters of religion. What are they? The arbitrary authority of the church. That's what brings us to our topic, okay? Protestantism protests against a church's claim that it's always God's church, no matter what it does. That's arbitrary authority. You have authority only as you are obedient to God. Protestantism is a protest against arbitrary authority. You can read that in a book called Great Controversy in the chapter Protest of the Princes. It just gives a history of Protestantism there. So the Protest of the Princes taught us that when the church claims arbitrary authority, we don't accept that. We protest against that. And then the other aspect of Protestantism was the government interference in our religious life. So think about what they're doing with it is in the Bible that says that we are not to be homosexual. I'm just using this as an example. The Bible says that. So they're going against the word of God when it's pushed aloud on our campuses, when it's pushed by the government. That's government interfering with your religious walk. I know many judges that retired when these laws came about because they would not conscientiously marry two men or marry two women. And, you know, if you can go to the justice of the peace to do that, they wouldn't do it. And so they would be considered violating somebody's constitutional rights if they did not perform those marriages. So there was a lot of at that time, a lot of retirees, people that retired from being justices and judges because they wouldn't perform those ceremonies because they wouldn't do it based on their religious convictions. And so I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that is a violation of your religious rights because many people won't do that because of their religion. And they knew that. They knew that it's in the Bible that it says that we're not supposed to do that. And so by making that a Supreme Court decision that a man can marry a man and that a woman can marry a woman and that it's a civil right guaranteed by the Constitution, that was a way of supplanting the Constitution. So I just wanted to share with you, friends, we're in trouble. we're in a lot of trouble here. And but the beautiful thing is, these are signs of the times. It must happen just before the second coming of Christ. That's what the Bible is teaching. And that leads to the mark of the beast. And the beast that it's talking about was that first beast. Remember, the United States would cause the world to worship the first beast, worship the Roman Catholic Church. What does the Roman Catholic Church say their mark is? Sunday, they say, is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. The transference of the true Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday is proof of that fact. That's what they say. That's in their writings. So the mark of the beast is the enforcement of Sunday worship. And so, friends, if your church proves unfaithful, even if it's a Sabbath-keeping church, it is going to receive the mark of the beast. It is. And for those of you who are familiar with First Selected Messages 204, it says storm and tempest will sweep away the structure. Talking about the structure of the church. It is not the general conference that's going through to the end, but faithful people will go through to the end. A lot of people don't understand that concept. It's just like when Jesus came. You had this big organization. Nobody knew anything about Jesus and his disciples, but they were the ones teaching the truth. They were the ones being faithful. That became the foundation of the true church to move forward. All right, friends, God is good. We're going to go ahead and close out at this time, and we will come back. We will hear a message from Sister Lenny on health, and it's entitled Kept in Activity. Kept in Activity. Friends, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for the truth. We thank you for your love and mercy, and I pray that you bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, and give us peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, then, brothers and sisters, God is good. Let us, at this time, go ahead and transition with the torso song. And then we will be back to hear a health message.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and be hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come
and see. Amen. At this time, we'll hear from Sister Lenny on the subject, Kept in Activity.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Kept in activity. The beating heart, the throbbing pulse, every nerve and muscle in the living organism are kept in order and activity by the power of an infinite God. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye need all these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here Christ leads the mind abroad to contemplate the open fields of nature, and his power touches the eye and the senses to discern the wonderful works of divine power. He directs attention first to nature, then up through nature to nature's God, who upholds the world by his power. It is not to be supposed that a law is set in motion for the seed to work itself, that the leaf appears because it must do so of itself. God has laws that he has instituted, but they are only the servants through which he effects results. It is through the immediate agency of God that every tiny seed breaks through the earth and springs into life. Every leaf grows, every flower blooms by the power of God. The physical organism of man is under the supervision of God, but it is not like a clock, which is set in operation and must go of itself. The heart beats, pulse succeeds pulse, breath succeeds breath, but the entire being is under the supervision of God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. In God we live and move and have our being. Each heartbeat, each breath is the inspiration of him who breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, the inspiration of ever-present God, the great I am. May God bless you today. This reading is coming from Medical Ministry, page 8 to 9. May God surround you today with blessings beyond measure, and that you will always know that God sees you and he knows what you need. God bless you.
Amen. 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 God is good, brothers and sisters. That's a blessing. All right, we are going now to the phone lines, and we'll start with Facebook, do a roll call, I should say. We'll start with Facebook. We have South Carolina. We have Ohio. We have, I believe that's Virginia. We have North Carolina on, and we want to wish everyone a happy holiday, but a healthy holiday. Let's be healthy today. On the call, we have Ohio again. We have Alabama, Pennsylvania, Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio again. We have Oklahoma again, and we have Georgia. Thank you all for joining us. And you might want to, I know from time to time, I know you've talked to people about the broadcast, but don't give up. Tell people about this broadcast. Now, of course, they can go and listen to the broadcast at a later time. Brothers and sisters, at torwm.org. All these broadcasts are posted at torwm.org, okay? And so that is something that you can share with people. There is a playback number also that you can just listen on a telephone call, and you have to put in an access code, so on and so forth. So just reach out if you need that information. But let's open the phone lines, friends, and all you have to do is press *6. We'd love to hear from you. And we have on Facebook, we have a good morning from Sister Glorious. We have a good morning from Brother Peyton. And if there's anyone on the call, please press *6. I am very grateful that the Lord brought me back home. I was out of town, And for the weekend, I had to speak at a reunion where I was baptized about 43 years ago at a church, and they were celebrating their 102nd year in operation as a church. They probably would have celebrated 100. It was probably during COVID. So that's probably where 102 comes in. But anyway, the Lord is good. And it was definitely a blessing to be able to see friends and family, see how God has sustained the saints. Some, of course, have been laid to rest. And we just need to keep each other in prayer. All right, friends, there is no one in the queue, so we're going to make the appeal one more time. Okay, go ahead, Sister Lenny.
I'm requesting special prayer for, I want to make a difference in my neighborhood. I want to be able to talk with people, but I want to do it how God wants me to do it and reach out to my neighbors. I'm not a person that goes door to door, knock on people's doors, but even that, I want to step out of my comfort zone and ask God to use me in a mighty way in my neighborhood. I know certain people, you know, in my development. I don't know everybody. I do know some people don't speak, you know, when they walk past and all that. I speak to them, but I just want to make a difference in my neighborhood. I want to make a difference wherever I go. So I'm just asking God to honor that. I know he hears my prayer, but I really want to do that. Thank you.
Amen. 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 And I believe God wants all of us to do that. And he's going to provide some ways and means to do the health message, I believe, to get to reach people. Amen for that encouragement. All right, friends. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? I have some of you who I owe some phone calls to. I've just been really, really busy over the weekend and that type of thing. Haven't been able to get to those calls, but I will, and by the grace of God. So if you haven't heard from me today and you need a call, please reach back out to me. I'd say if you haven't heard from me by 1 p.m., reach back out because I might have missed the text or something of that nature, okay? All right, there's no one in the queue. God bless you. We're going to turn it over to my undreamed of lovely wife, and she's going to have our closing prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We pray, Lord, that your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know as we lean to you for truth. And we ask, Lord, that you will help our minds to be able to grow with more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we share your word with others. We pray for the petition that's been asked to go forth in her outreach evangelism work, and that is Sister Lenny asking for her life to be more purposeful in these efforts. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give her the words to speak, show her the things to do, so that she can be able to share with others the things that she has learned and the things that she wants others to know about, for time is certainly short. We ask that you help all of us to be able to have our own outreach in our communities and show us, Lord, how we can do that. May we be a mouthpiece for you and for your word. All these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord, Master's Chorale.
I will trust in the Lord. I will. Lord, I will worship the Lord. I will worship.